If Peter were alive today, what message might he have for us? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Brant Berglund, your host and study guide author. We're continuing a 13-week series on the New Testament books of 1st and 2nd Peter, and with tonight's study, we really come to the conclusion. And my conversation partners are Dr. Alden Thompson and Dr. Jody Washburn, professors of Old Testament at Walla Walla University. And my question, yes, it's hypothetical, but throughout our quarter of studying 1st and 2nd Peter, what sense do you get for Peter's heart for people, for Christians, and if he were alive, what might he say today? And really the question then, and Alden, you had brought this up earlier before our broadcast time, how do we make 1st and 2nd Peter come alive so that Peter still speaks? How do we take lessons like this, 2,000 years old almost, and make them speak? And maybe would Peter say the same things to us today?
Well, he obviously has a deep concern for the people that he's talking to. But the reason I raise that question is that I don't find it easy to study and retain books like 1st and 2nd Peter.
Mm.
My guess is if I knew the author and knew that he knew my circumstances, then I might listen a little more carefully. It's a long ways away, and there's little bits and pieces, whereas it's much easier for you to take the Gospels, for example, or some of the narratives in the Old Testament and work those through. So I don't know whether either of you have any wisdom or insight on that, some practical counsels as to how you make it come alive.
I like to just notice words, but I'm not sure that answers, you know, your question about making the books as a whole come alive. I think some of the metaphors that Peter uses stick in my mind, where a phrase will play over, and I guess I'm okay with just finding meaningful phrases and asking, what does this mean in my, mm-hmm. like, what does it mean? He says in 2 Peter 1, I think, verse 13, you live in this tent of, in the tent of this body. I mean, what does this mean? He's envisioning himself as simply living in a, you could say, temporary or movable place.
Dwelling.
That is a dwelling place not only for, you know, Peter as a person while he's here on earth, yeah. but God too, you know? And there, it's full of these metaphors. And I love to notice that language and then ask mm-hmm. myself, why were those particular words chosen? What could this mean?
And both of you are Old Testament scholars, and that's where you have, you know, kind of cut your teeth in Scripture, at least for your PhD work. But you look at Peter, and he uses the Old Testament. He makes reference to it, but not mm-hmm. always in the ways we expect. And that's part of the challenge as well. And yet, if Peter were alive with the Christian church today, what concerns do you think would still be applicable, or that would he bring up again? We saw the major theme of suffering. Do you think people suffer less today than they did in Peter's day, or would he... Jody, you're shaking your head. No?
No, I think suffering is part of the human experience in all ages. I just wonder if Peter were here today, I think he might have some vim and vigor to share with us, or some, there's a certain power that comes with firsthand experience.
Oh, from having seen Jesus personally.
You think of descriptions, right? Even in Revelation of the church, that it's so easy to kind of settle into a mediocre, lukewarm routine. And I feel like Peter, I mean, he emphasizes over and over, I mean, I was an eyewitness. I saw this. I heard this. I was there. I was with Christ. And I think that would be useful to us today, to be reminded how real this is.
And he would probably say, turn off your cell phones,
yes,
and listen.
Listen.
And listen.
Be present.
Yeah. And yet, here's Peter using paper and pen, the best mode available for sharing messages. Mm-hmm. You know, would he have a phone? And, you know, if he did, would he be on Instagram trying to put up religious pictures or pictures of Christ, or sharing some bit of truth, saying, hey, today, whatever you're going through, whatever you're suffering through, remember Christ suffered too, and don't forget that you have a high calling. Would he be sending out messages, or would he be saying, set those aside for a while, take time every day to set that aside, and to remember that the Jesus that you profess to serve came as a human, and he suffered, and he died, and he's coming back.
Well,
where's that balance?
I think it's also important to remember that we shouldn't expect everyone to be equally enthusiastic about every book of the Bible.
Yep.
One of the fun things I do in my classes is I just ask people, what's your favorite book of the Bible? And they're all over the place. See, that's why we have 66 books. And some people really like one, some people really don't. I remember a number of years ago as I taught a class, and it was in the third section of the Hebrew canon, and we had Lamentations and Ecclesiastes were two of the books. And there were two students sitting right beside each other. They weren't friends, but I remember the response. One was said, Lamentations is the worst book of the Bible. I'll never read it again. And the person sitting right next to him, Lamentations is my favorite book. Ta-da! You know, so wow. Here they were sitting right beside each other.
And you hear the same thing about the Gospels. There are four Gospels, and people often will gravitate to one. I hear some people say, John speaks to me. It is the most clear revelation of God in the person of Jesus. And other people read John and say, why is he so repetitious? He just says the same thing over and over. But it's Mark, the high-speed, fast-paced, quick-hitting gospel of Jesus that resonates with them. Others, they like to hear the law emphasis, the Jewishness of Matthew. And others see the marginalized in Luke, and they say, oh, that speaks to our society. But with 1 and 2 Peter, I don't know that I've ever met anyone who said, these are my two favorite books of the Bible. And yet, there are passages in there that Christians, and especially, you know, my own faith tradition of Adventists, we look at especially 2 Peter, and we look at this passage that we concluded with last week on the coming of Jesus, and that gives us hope. Right, the blessed hope of the return of Jesus. When I look through the list of kind of major themes in these two letters, though, the sacrifice of Christ and his suffering, coupled with our own, godly conduct, that is living in light of the fact that we have a high calling, the hope of Jesus' return, order in society and the church, that is how we live within within the family unit, within society, within our political sphere. We're to live in an orderly way. And then finally, the role of Scripture. Peter had a couple things to say about the Old Testament pointing forward and it being a sure word. Which of these do you think perhaps is the most significant for today, the one that maybe people would resonate
with?
Well,
the one that I would like to explore is that last one, the role of Scripture. I sometimes use a contemporary English version because it's the first translation of the Bible to be made designed to be heard by the ear rather than seen by the eye. Because the Bible study people says more people are going to be hearing it than are actually going to be seeing it.
So what they did is representative of the time when the texts were produced.
Sure.
They were made to be read.
And so one of the things they've done is there are no tongue twisters. In the contemporary English version, and it rolls. I mean, there are some nasty passages that I almost feel guilty when I memorize it because they roll so easily.
that version just lends itself to being spoken.
I mean, there are some prayers of Jeremiah that just, you know, curl your hair. And the contemporary English version, it curls it twice, you know, just simply because it goes so vividly. But when we live in an age, how do we get the message across? Do you do it with your... By calling a passage on your phone. Mm-hmm. It'd be very interesting to see how the next few years flow with how people related to printed word.
Certainly so.
There is a sense, I think, in which there may be a bit of a rebound for the printed page.
And yet right now in my classes, you know, I have my students read large portions of Scripture, the Gospels, the Book of Revelation, and especially when I have them read Revelation, I have them read it through cover to cover in a sitting, ideally, because Revelation, like you talked about, Alden, it being read aloud, Revelation actually begins with a blessing. Blessed are those who read and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So it was originally designed to be read perhaps in a congregation setting in a home, and most of the people were hearing it. My students, I say, get together in groups and one of you read for a while and the rest of you listen and then switch and someone else read. They said, that's a neat idea. And then someone will invariably ask, can I put it on a podcast and just listen to it while I'm driving somewhere or while I'm going on a jog or walking? And I said, I don't mind as long as you're able to focus on it. They said, it just makes more sense when I hear it than when I read it. Mm-hmm. Is this generation a generation right now that's moving away from the written word to some degree, more to an audio format where life is being lived through what they hear, and yet they have their phones? In class, if I say, hey, open your Bibles to this passage, they will whip out their phones. They'll go to BibleGateway.com, and they'll find the passage, and they'll say, oh, I have it in 12 different versions here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not just the new generation. I remember John Brunt telling an experience about he was at the scholarly convention, Society of Biblical Literature,
mm-hmm.
and they were studying Galatians. And they had a lively Donnybrook, I mean, just very intense exchanges. And they had made arrangements in advance to have an actor come and recite the key passage.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was just astonishing, the fact, you know, that when he came in and simply spoke the word, everything just kind of, you know, there were no more debates. You know? They simply heard the word. And it touched the heart.
Is it possible that we do too much talking then about the word and not enough simply listening to it? Is it possible that even what we do here at The Good Word could be far greater effect in the lives of people if we read more of the text and just let the scripture move?
Well, I'm sure that could be the case. You know, we've had some years in the past where students have been really taken up memorization. John Brunt has memorized all of Philippians, you know, mm-hmm. and Ernie Bercy has memorized all the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
But I remember one of our students, and that's been fairly recent years, who, for a student service, simply gave John from memory, or at least part of John, see. And one of the students came up to him afterwards and said, that was really neat. Where did you get that?
That was the Bible. Yeah,
that was the Bible. Yes.
Jody, do you have your students read? Do you see them in class pulling out their phones?
I do. And we also, in Daniel Jeremiah class, we read Lamentations. And it was interesting. One time when I taught that class, a student pointed out the difference. He said when he sat down at home to read Lamentations, he couldn't get through more than two or three verses. He said, I have to put it down. It's breaking my heart.
Huh.
And he had to go back to it, go aside, go back. And then we sat on the floor in a circle, and we read it aloud together, huh. verse by verse, the whole book, without stopping, without any commentary or comment. And it was an example, right? A lament is many times in the Old Testament a communal event, and you pray those
words. But, you
know,
in Lamentations, it's an acrostic, so it is a very controlled lament.
Yep.
A very controlled lament, and that may have its advantages too.
Yep. Yep.
It seems we've had a delightful discussion throughout this quarter, and as we come to the end of our discussion on 1st and 2nd Peter, and today a little bit more wide-ranging but really applicable, what would we say Peter would care about? Well, when I think about my prayer for you, my colleagues, and for those of you listening, it's my prayer with Peter that you continue to grow in your knowledge of Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and that you experience Him more and more as the day of the Lord draws near. Thank you for listening. My thanks to Jared Miller, our program engineer. And to all of you for listening, thank you for the good word. I'm Brant Berglund.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.